Okay, well, let's pray and then let's begin. Heavenly Father, we just want to pray and thank you for every opportunity that we can have to study your word and to know you better. We pray, dear Father, that you will, even as we come towards the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, we pray, dear Lord, that you will help us to review the lessons, help us to be able to apply some of the lessons that we have learned. And we ask, dear Father, that we can be wiser in how we look at the practical issues of life. And we pray that you will bless this time as we study your word once again. We ask, dear Lord, that you will bless this time. Grant us wisdom and be with all those who are not with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hi, Grace. Come. Okay, let's take up today's lesson. And so we come to chapter 11 and then a bit of chapter 12. So we have three more lessons and then we are done for the year. Okay, and so basically, we are more or less going to start summarizing everything. So chapter 12, basically, he is going to talk about the most pertinent things. What are some of the most important things? And then, of course, the conclusion, he's going to talk about the fear of the Lord, and so on. Now, today we're going to talk about four R's. Okay, let me just give it to you straight away. Four R's that you should have in your life, that you should consider. What are the four R's? Anyway, it's in your notes. Number one is to learn to rejoice. Right? To rejoice now. Okay, so verse 11, verse 9, it says, "Rejoice, O young man, in your youth." Okay, do you all still consider yourself youths? Yes? No? Chloe, spend so much time with all the children. You still feel young? Because of weight. Okay. Yeah. Do you still consider yourself youth? Right. You still, right? Yeah, Beth will always be a youth. Right. So in some ways, this still applies to you all. Anyway, in Myanmar, a youth is considered, if you are 40 and below, you are considered a youth. So all of you are youth. I'm no more considered a youth because I'm 59 this year. I'll be 60, right? Wow. So next year, I'll be no longer middle age. I'll be a senior already, right? 20 years middle age. No? 65 is middle age. Okay, good. There's still got 5 more years before I become a senior, right? So this applies to, consider yourself a young person? Yeah, okay. So this applies to you. And so what he's trying to say here is that one of the things, so after going through all that is written, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, all the problems, the dismal approach towards many things in life, whether it's wealth, whether it's death, whether it's all the things that he struggled with. What is most important? One, when you're still young, learn to rejoice. Okay? Learn to rejoice in life. Oh, young men, oh, young women, in your youth, let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. I think one of the things that we should do in life is that before you become bogged down by the many worries and burdens of life, now you're still, most of you, staying at home. Next time you have your own home, you start worrying, I got to pay for this, I got to pay for that, you got to worry about your children, you got to worry about many things. Till then, while you can, rejoice. Okay, and if you can really rejoice now, you can continue to rejoice despite all the challenges of life. Okay, if you cannot rejoice now, you're going to find it very hard to rejoice later. Right? And basically what he's trying to say here is that, so what do you think it means? Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. It seemed like, wow, you can go and do whatever you want. Is that what he, yeah, come. Is that what he's saying? Do whatever you want. Rejoice and do whatever you want. What is he trying to say here? He's saying rejoice and be happy. Right? Be happy. Eat all you want. Huh? What is he trying to say here? How do you apply this? Rejoice and what? Why do we rejoice? What is he trying to rejoice in? What do you think? Anybody? Matthias, what brings the most joy in your life? Food, okay. Food. What food?
Lots of food.
Okay, I give it to you. Lots of food. Yeah, I think that's number one thing that we all rejoice in, right? Food. So during the week, I brought someone out to try to reach out to this person, and we went to Marmalade Pantry. Yeah, and then we had the kimchi fried rice. Wow, it was really good. And then we had this pasta with prawns and scallop and the lobster bisque kind of gravy. Wow, excellent, right? So we can enjoy all these different things in life. Okay. So what does it mean? Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. How do you interpret it? Okay, so basically what it means is that firstly, the kind of heart that you choose to have will determine the kind of disposition you have in life. If you want to go and sorrow over many things in life, then your life will be filled with many sorrow. But if you choose to rejoice in life, if you choose to rejoice in what you have, and I think most of you, all of you in fact, your future is so bright, right? You have a whole life ahead of you. How many years do you all intend to live, Audrey? How many years do you want to live? Yeah, okay, so how many years? What, 60 years, right? How many years old do you want to die or be with the Lord? 85, 90? I think enough already, right? Not so long. Yeah, by then, wow, bogey, hair become white, wow, right? Many wrinkles. Yeah, so we don't want to live so long. But at least you have a whole life ahead of you, right? At least 50 years. You look, today in newspaper, there was this two Singaporeans who went to go and climb in some Indonesian mountain. And then it was a volcano and it erupted and both of them are missing, most probably dead, right? Life gone. Most probably, I don't know. We don't know who they are. Probably young people, perhaps older people will not go and climb mountains. And life is gone. So you have a whole life ahead of you. Your future is bright. No matter what, your future is still bright. You have a whole life ahead of you. Can you see? A whole life ahead of you. Enjoy your life. Right? Walk in the ways of your heart. In the sight of your eyes, what does it mean? It means to, you know what, just enjoy your life. Take the time to enjoy what you have. I don't mean go and do whatever you want. Go and drink and party and then, you know, you have a liver cancer in time to come because you drink over drink. No, I don't mean that. What I mean here, what he's trying to say here is that, you know, learn to enjoy your life. If you can't enjoy your life now, how are you going to enjoy the future? Because today's lesson, it's about youth and old age. It's a very broad sweep. Okay? If you cannot enjoy life now, when you become old, there will be a lot of problems. right? So he, in chapter 12, we go on to read, he says, you know, when the years come, the moon and the stars are, when the grinders cease because they are few. Wow. Okay, Matthias, you like to eat, right? But one day, all your teeth will be gone. Right? Have you seen, I've seen a lady, old lady, she has only two teeth. One on each side, the rest all gone. Okay, of course, we won't come to such a stage, lah, because nowadays, advanced dentistry, you can have, you know, implants and so and so forth. Okay, but basically what it means then, during that time, you won't be able to eat as much. Why? Because when you grow older, life is going to be tough. If as a young person, you cannot enjoy life now, how are you going to enjoy life later in life? Can you see what he's trying to say? Probably he's much older now. And he looks back, he says, you know what, I should have enjoyed my life more when I was younger. So he's basically trying to tell, and I'm basically telling all of you, young adults, enjoy your life. Sure, as Christians, we all must follow the ways of the Lord. We want to you know, do certain things according to God's ways. Sometimes life can be a bit confining. But yet, at the same time, we can still rejoice and enjoy what we have. Don't stop enjoying life. Why people kill themselves? Why along the way people commit suicide? Because along the way, they stop enjoying the life that they have. Can you see? So number one, the first word is rejoice. Second word is remove. Now, in order to rejoice, you need to remove. Okay? And there are two things you should remove. One, remove sorrow. Remove what brings sorrow to your heart. Remove. Take it away. Whatever brings grief to the heart, set it aside. Okay? So he says, therefore, remove sorrow from your heart. Okay? Put away evil from your flesh. Now, one, sorrow from the heart, evil or sin. Okay? From the flesh. Remove. Rejoice, remove. If you really want to rejoice, then therefore you also must remove. Because sin, evil, sorrow is going to rob you of the joy. Correct? What is it that brings sorrow to us? Work, okay. I didn't ask you, you straight away tell me. Oh, I really sorrow. Okay, what else? What else brings sorrow to the heart? Michelle?
Unemployment.
Okay. Non-work. Okay. You work, you bring sorrow. You don't work, also bring sorrow. Unemployment. Okay. What else? What else? Come on. I'm sure there are many things that bring sorrow in life. Laura? Death? Yeah, okay, when people, loved one pass away. Okay, death. Death in the family, death of loved one. What else? Regrets. You're right, regrets. What else? Elena? Stress. Work, right? Work again. What else? Chloe? You got sorrow or not? You don't seem to have a... All this. You quietly sorrow in the heart. Okay. Stress also. Okay. Eat too much. Every day, eat. Look at food until... Okay, one more. Beth. Illness. Yeah, you see that all the time, isn't it? Illness. Many things that bring sorrow. Okay? You can't remove all these things, but you can remove the sorrow of it. These things will still be part of life, but you can choose. You can choose to remove them if you know how to. Okay, there's a way. I remove sorrow from my heart. I read the scriptures. The scriptures brings joy in the midst of all the challenges of life. And sorrow goes. Right? There are many ways. I sing. I learn to sing a new song. Someone during the week reminded us of, you know, Teacher Alex, Uncle Alex, myself, Pastor Mark, and then one or two other guys. The last song that we sang, or last song item we gave in Bethany 1, was a song called Fight the Good Fight. Okay, if you go to YouTube or anywhere, you just put there, animated stories, Paul, Fight the Good Fight. The song will come up. It's a very old song. And during the week, we revived that song, and Ashley heard it. Wow, then she went, wow, that's a very nice song. And then she went to look at all the songs in this series called the Animated Series of the Lord Jesus and Paul. It's a very old cartoon series, and the songs there were beautiful. And wow, that has become my song in the night, my song that I sing every day now during the past week, right? What is it that brings, that is able to remove sorrow from your heart? There are many ways we can do that. But you have to learn. You have to learn to remove sorrow. You have to learn to remove sin, evil. Evil that's in the flesh. You see, this is even harder because it's deep within your flesh. Carnality, right? We studied from the book of Romans. It's part of us. It has become so much a part of us, it's very hard to get rid of. And yet, we are meant to remove it, to cleanse ourselves. To cleanse ourselves from all filthiness and all things that are bad, that defiles, from our hearts, from our flesh, and our soul, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Right? Remove. See, if you really want to practice the book of Ecclesiastes, one, you learn to rejoice. Two, you remove. You want to rejoice? You've got to remove. If you don't remove, you're not going to rejoice. It's not going to be easy to rejoice if you don't remove. And of course, this is going to be a lifelong thing. But you can. You can remove bit by bit. During the week, or rather yesterday, there's this thing called the grease trap near the kitchen. Have you all heard of the grease trap? The grease trap basically traps grease from the kitchen. So the kitchen, they will wash, they clean the floor, and then all the water, there's a lot of grease, and everything will go into this pipe, and it goes to this thing called the grease trap, where it traps all the grease, the things that are, you know, when they clean the floor. And then it traps it from, so the water will flow through, but these things, it will be trapped. Now, I think since, you know, someone left who was supposed to look after the church, and it hasn't been cleared. I think it's been more than a year. So yesterday, I got this company to come and to clear the grease trap after a year. When they first opened it, the amount of grease and grime is this much. And it's so smelly. I tell you. And then so they washed the pipe. First thing we did was to wash the pipe, clear everything. Oh, I tell you, the amount of grease. And then finally, so they push everything into the grease trap. And then, so that's one team. And then we got another team, this time to suck out everything. And when that team opened up the thing, they all turned. So they all turned one side and say, how, you know, and it was so smelly. Okay, I was up on the fourth floor. Here, fourth floor, the bubble lived there. I could smell it, man. It was horrible. You know, and they finally cleared everything. Okay? And wow, it was quite an experience to to be part of that. To smell, you know, Pastor John was saying, you know, because he was doing everything, I was up in the fourth, third floor. He was on duty, so he was attending to everything. I just went down from time to time. And he said at night, when he went home, he could still smell the thing from the grease trap. My goodness. I tell you, there are things in our life you need to remove. If not, it's going to grow, it's going to smell, it's called defilement. If you don't deal with it, it's going to defile your life. Right? And it can be very deep-seated. Okay, and then it talks about how childhood and youth are vanity. And then the next R is remember. Remember your Creator. Remember the Lord. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. Ah, I'm sick of life. I'm tired of life. Right? While the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are not darkened. Right? So life is, you can see the sun. Life is still wonderful. There's light shining through. One day, you know what? All these things will be gone. No pleasure in the day. You notice when you all grow, I don't know whether your grandparents, some of them perhaps, or older parents, they all like to sit in the dark. They like to sit in the room and they don't like the light. They just like to watch TV and then that's it. Why? Because the difficult days are here. Right? Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. If you don't develop your life now, why? Look at all the things that will come. Okay, you try to guess. Okay, so the grinders we know is the thief. And those who look through the windows grow dim. What is that? Your eyes, right? You can't see as well. When the doors are shut in the streets, doors shut at the streets, what is that? You try to guess. Doors shut in the streets. In the streets, what do you hear? Right? What? Noise. Okay. What noise? People? Talking. Doors shut means? Shut up means? Mouth. Okay, so what it means, the doors are shut, meaning the symbol is your mouth, you don't speak anymore. You don't hear your mouth speaking in the streets. That's what it means. Okay, when the doors are shut in the streets and the sound of grinding is low. Sound of grinding? What else? Eyes, mouth? Huh? Noise is? Yes, right? Yes, I can't hear anymore. When one rises up at the sound of a bird, okay, can't sleep as well. Right? And all the daughters of music are brought low. You know, you love music, but now you can't hear as you grow older. Right? And they are afraid of heights, terrors in the way. When the almond tree blossoms, wow, okay, this one is what? When the almond tree blossoms, if you can guess this, wow, I'll bring you out for lunch. The almond tree blossoms. Almond is what color? White, yes, white hair. Okay, when an almond tree, when it blossoms, it's all white. White hair. Okay? When your hair is white. The grasshopper is a burden. Grasshopper is a burden. When you see a small little grasshopper and you, why is it there? Should I catch it? What if I fall down? What if? Even a small little grasshopper becomes a burden to you. You can't even think of lifting it up. Can you see? Desires fail. No longer the desire to look at all the things of life. Right? Gee, I missed something. Verse 3. In the day when your keepers of the house tremble and the strong men bow down. In the days the keepers of the house tremble. What is that? Your? Parents? No. What else? What do you use to keep things? Your hands. So the keepers of the house is a reference to your hands. Then the strong men bow down. Your? What do you say? Bow down is what? Your leg. Can you see? He's describing all the different parts of the body. You can't function as well anymore. Right? This is growing old. When you grow old, things don't work as well. Remember the Lord now. Remembering the Lord is involving God while you can. God as creator. Remembering God as our creator. God knows everything. God leads us and upholds us in life. Let's turn to Psalm 139 for a while. 139. In 139, we read how God knows everything, right? He made us. He knows us. Where can I go from your spirit? Verse 7. Where can I flee from your presence? I ascend into the heavens. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall uphold me. Right? For you form my inward parts, covered me in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. In your book, they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none. Wow. You know what? God knows everything about you. God's planned everything for you. Remember him. Don't forget him. Involve him so much more in our life. Right? Remember our Creator. What did God create you for? What was the original intent of God when he created all of us? What was that one intent? Okay, glorify. But there's one thing along those lines. Two. To what? He created us too? God made us in his image. We are to bear his image. Okay? In today's terms, it is to reflect the Lord Jesus in our life. Right? It's to bear his image. Isn't it? To know him, to relate to him, to honor him. You know, young people, can I call you all young people? Or you prefer young adults? Right? Time will pass by very fast. I tell you all first. I'll be 16 this year. I look back 40 years, 50 years. When I was 40 years? When I was 19, 20? Time just went by like that. Whew. 40 years just went by. Right? Now it's already coming to June already. Wow, where did the 5 months go? Vroom. Before you know it, Christmas already. Yay, party. Well, in New Year again. right? Then I'll be 60 already. Wow. But I got discount, right? Which I'm looking forward to, right? You don't have, I have. That's the benefit of reaching 60, right? Some, what, go and watch cinema, got discount. Take bus also got discount, right? Wow, thank God. I'm looking forward to that. Oh, bus so expensive, right? $1.80 $1.80 Yeah, okay, anyway. Right? Time will, let me tell you, time will just pass by very quickly. Before you know it, you will be 62. And I'll be gone. I won't be here. Unless I live to 100. Yeah, well, I don't. I want to be with the Lord, right? Remember the Lord. Seek to follow the Lord. Seek to live for Him now while you can. The day will come. So one thing good about being with the SSP, the older people, you know, it's a good time for us to relate to them, and they really enjoy being with us. But the not so good side also is as each time they come, week, month, year after year, you see them deteriorate. Bit by bit. Bit by bit. Then, that's it. Before you know it, you'll be in a wheelchair. And then that's it. And then you have dementia. And then you forget things. And then you repeat things again and again and again. That's life. You want to serve the Lord, you want to memorize God's word, you want to remember the Lord and do something for Him, now is the time. But do it with joy. Do it by doing it the right way. Don't sorrow, put away things that are wrong in your life, settle those things. And then you can remember the Lord, serve the Lord, put Him first, right? And then along the way, you will find that God is someone that will work in your life. Huh? And then the last R is return. We will all return to God. One day, death will come. For man goes to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. One day, I will die too. One day, pastor would die. All of us would die. Right? Will you all remember me? Yes? No? I don't know. I'll be in heaven anyway. Right? So the mourners will come. Right? When death comes. Man goes to his eternal home. Which home? Right? Which home will be your eternal home, heaven or hell? Before the silver cord is loose and the golden bowl is broken, this is not the corner shop, right? Golden bowl. Is this still called golden bowl? The corner shop? Golden gate. I thought it was golden bowl. No, golden gate. See? That's the how long I've been there. Golden gate, right? Or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well, then the dust will return to the earth as it was. We were made from dust. Dust we will return. And the spirit will return to God who gave it. And then finally, it says, vanity. So, you know, even after this, after he has written so many good, you know, some good, some, okay, you know, not so all together there, at the end of it, he still says, vanities of vanities, all is vanity. All is vanity. He still feels dismal in life. Though sometimes you really wonder, all these things that he has written, then how come he's still having such a dismal part of life? And, you know, young adults, be careful. If you're going to have a dismal disposition of life now, you might just have it for the rest of your life. It's not going to stay. You're going to stay with you. Don't. choose to rejoice. Choose to remove the things that are going to stop you from rejoicing. Right? Remember the Lord. Remember the Lord every day. Remember Him in all that we go through in life. And then one day we will return. We will return to the Lord. Actually, I look forward to that day. I don't know when, but I look forward. I look forward to the Lord's coming. If He does come, hopefully He will come before I die. If not, that's fine. I'll meet you some, maybe within your lifetime, right? I'll be gone. Then I'll meet you in the air with the Lord, right? He will come with all of us. And then you will disappear, and then we'll meet you in the sky, and then we'll have a great reunion, and then we'll be with the Lord forever. We will see Him face to face. I tell you what I'm really looking forward to see the Lord Jesus face to face. That is the thing that I really look forward to. Sometimes I pray and just want my wish. Lord, if I can just see You. I know You're there, but if I can just see You. So I'm really looking forward to the day when I see the Lord Jesus face to face. Right? And we return. Our flesh will return. Our spirit will return to God. Our flesh will return to the dust. And one day we all will grow old. Your parents are growing old, right? Some of you, grandparents, parents, all growing old. Your pain, their pain. That's life. Okay. Do you have any questions, Jonas, concerning this? Anything you want to ask and raise up? If not, we can go into our groups and then you all can take a bit of time to discuss how do you all feel about these things. How do you all feel about, you know, especially the sorrows that you have in your life? And sometimes you find it hard to get rid of it. You can't remove it. It's still there. Right? Or maybe the sins that are in your life, the evil that is within your flesh. I think this is the main thing. Main problem. This one, okay. If you remove this, you settle this. This one easier to find, right? This one, I think most of us, we try to, but sometimes we forget too. Return, you got no choice. You got no choice, right? That one, when it comes, all of us have to return. But we need to plan for it. Okay, we go into our groups for a while, and then take a bit of time. Discuss about the sorrow or the evil or the you know, the things that are in your heart that you need to deal with. Okay? And then after that, we'll come back and talk further. Okay, let's go to our groups. Okay, are you all done?
We covered both removing sorrow and sin. We talked about what makes us sorrow. And we looked at the board and concluded that even though these things are just realities of life, it is our perspective and expectations of what we think that these things could be that brings us a sorrow. We think that we are meant to have a job. The job is supposed to be good, supposed to pay well, supposed to not be that difficult. You know, we have certain ideals. Yeah, and then because they don't meet our expectations, then we have sorrow. But then if that sorrow lingers long, it tends to also become sin. Because we focus too much on ourselves.
Yeah.
We don't bring God into the picture. We don't remember God.
Yeah.
And then talking about removing evil, removing sin from our lives, we find that it is difficult. One is because we live in because of sinful nature, because of our flesh, our carnality, also influenced by how we grew up.
The world.
We know what to do, but we don't do it. But the encouragement and comfort is also that one is that we know that it is possible to do it, like to remove sin.
Yeah.
Two is that we can look at the Lord Jesus and draw comfort from Him, that He understands us and that He has also already won the battle for us.
Sure.
Yeah. I think in summary, that's what we talked about.
Okay. Anything else you want to raise up? Debbie?
I think what we talked about was pretty similar in that what needs to shift to that removing sorrow is a is an active choice. That maybe the sorrow that we experience may not have been a choice, like we didn't choose to feel it, but then removing it from our hearts is a very active choice that we need to make.
Yeah.
And that sometimes that what is needed is a shift in perspective also. So after you remove, like you can choose to remove the sorrow, but if nothing is put in its place, then it will just come back or things like that. Yeah. So I think what we were talking about is that we may know that, understand it, but then in practice, it's something that we are still struggling with and learning. There will be days, I mean, I guess like in the context of work, that it really feels very stressful and overwhelming and that we are feeling very discouraged. And even if we know in those times that it's an active choice to choose not to feel discouraged and to turn to the Lord and to seek for His help, His comfort, it may, I mean, we are really weak and the strength may not be there. But it's also a process of learning and growing to try to keep doing it and not giving up, I think.
Yeah, and I think the challenge is, if we fill our hearts and our mind so much more with God and His Word and let the Spirit of God fill us, sorrow will be set aside. I think to me, one of the key things is to let the Spirit of God fill your heart, not sorrow. If the Spirit of God fills us so much more, then our hearts will give thanks, our hearts will rejoice, our hearts will focus on His Word. We will learn to fellowship. I tell you one of the things that I do when I feel a bit of sorrow. Of course, to me, on my own, I will read, I will pray, I will sing. But sometimes it's fellowship. Go and talk to someone who is more mature. Someone who can counsel you. Someone who can get you out of this sorrow. And that's something I used to do when I'm younger. But now I don't need to. Because I can learn how to do it on my own. I've come, I've found the secret, right, of abiding in the Lord, right? I've come to a stage where I can learn how to remove the sorrow by remembering the Lord, His Word, memorizing His Word, and filling my heart with the things of the Spirit. You know, you sow to the Spirit, you will reap in the Spirit. You will reap everlasting life. You sow to the flesh, you will reap corruption. So whatever you spend time with, it's going to affect you. You are sorrowing, you're going to watch Netflix, you're going to watch all the, you know, love story, very sad one, or you're going to listen to sad music, then you're going to be worse, right? Whatever you fill your heart with, your heart and your mind, is going to affect you. But if I fill my heart with the Word of God, with encouragement, with you know, I listen to a message, I listen to a Christian song, I listen to the counsel and advice of others, I find the joy coming. I find the strength to choose. I find the Spirit of God leading me rather than I lead my own feelings. Right? Then I can choose. You see, one of the things that we spoke about is choice. How to choose. How do I choose not to sorrow, but to choose to rejoice? That takes spiritual maturity. That takes knowledge. That takes faith, not feelings. Because feelings can overwhelm us. Feelings can take control of us. But if I have faith, if I put faith in the forefront, then faith will lead me, guide me, help me to choose the right things rather than to give in to my feelings. So that was something that we spoke about, choice. And how would you choose? Right? Ecclesiastes is really about choice. Choice to be dismal, or I choose to rejoice. Rejoice. right, in the days of your youth. Remove. Remember. And then one day we all will return. Right? Life is short. One day we all will return. I mean, let me ask you. At the end of life, what is it that really matters? You ask yourself. What is it that really matters when you die? Your grades? Your promotion? These things don't really matter when you die. You know, towards the end, recently, Mr. Stephen Ng, Grace Ng's, Natalie's grandfather, he passed away. Before he passed away, he had a bit of a delirium. And he could remember things. He remembered the things of the past. He remembered certain things. And I was just sitting there observing him. At the end of life, what is it that is most important? Not much, right? To him, he had the benefit of family. Family who loved him, family who was there with him towards the end, right? Right? Who's going to be the companion when you grow old? Who is your grandfather's companion? Grandma, besides your grandma, who spends the most time with your dad, your grandfather? Huh? Yeah, y'all. Who else? There's one person. Your helper. Your helper spends most time with him, isn't it? So your companion next time is going to be your helper, not your spouse, when you grow old. Realistically speaking. Right? I see that all the time. At the end of life, what really matters is God in your heart. That is all that matters. Nothing else really matters in life. My grades, my promotion, whatever I had in the past, that don't matter. The only thing that matters is God in my life. That's it. Because that's the only thing you can bring with you when you die. Okay? Think about it. Pray about it. 4 hours. I hope these 4 things you will remember. If you cannot remember any of the lesson, remember these 4 hours. Okay? Can or y'all can remember? Right? If you cannot remember everything else that I said the last 1 year or so, remember these 4 things. Okay? Well, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we just want to pray and ask that truly you will teach us how to rejoice in life now, while we can. Days will come when it will be hard and difficult, and it's hard to rejoice. Help us to have the faith to choose to rejoice now and learn to remove sorrow and all that is evil and wrong in our hearts and our life. Teach us, Lord, we pray that you will cleanse us of our sins, and we pray that we will remember you consciously, diligently, remembering you each day and every day, that we can be that much more what you want us to be, to reflect the Lord Jesus in our life. And one day we know we will return to you. Help us, Lord, to live our lives well, that when we see you one day, you will say, the Lord Jesus will say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. We pray that you be with us and bless us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.